yeah, a lot of pressure. You got to rise above it. Mm-hmm. You got to harness in the good energy, block out the bad. Harness, energy, block, bad. Mm-hmm. Feel the flow happy. Feel it. It's circular. It's like a carousel. Oh, my baby's got me
under pressure. The whole show, pressure cooker. I think David Adelman and the Nuggets survived that pressure cooker pretty good. Mike, I think even the first two of the first four teams that played, well, first four of the first eight teams that played, survived the pressure cooker because you said you wanted them to be a good game. I don't remember what your reasoning was. It was something stupid. But we've got the whole show pressure cooker. What? You were putting them in the pressure cooker for, I don't remember why. I'm sure it was important. Tanner Schwintz joining us in studio.
I think I'm the kiss of death for this segment.
Why?
Well, maybe not.
I think Michael and I's pressure cookers, typically they survive them.
And that's what I'm saying. I threw the Avalanche in the pressure cooker on Monday. And they got destroyed by the Penguins.
Yeah, they did. They got destroyed by the Penguins.
It was bad.
Yeah.
So I'm scared to
Do
put them back
in.
Do you
think that was a sign that we should have been looking out for, though, with the Penguins beating the Avs? Was a sign that we were going to get our own Penguin in Denver?
Yes.
Mike, maybe so.
Should have been a duck, though. That's what we learned.
That was a good one.
You idiot. Quack. Quack.
Never forget that. Michael goes, man, if he would have been went to Oregon, he could have been a duck. Well, he's a...
They're birds.
He's a penguin. He's a penguin, Michael.
What's a penguin sound?
I don't... Not that. That's... Not every bird sounds like Brian's version of a turkey. 100%, Tanner. I mean, the Nuggets play Memphis tonight, whatever. The pressure is on the Colorado Avalanche. They're not only are they going up against their biggest rival, their biggest current rival in the Dallas Stars, they've lost three out of their last four games.
Yeah.
Suddenly, all the great faith they built up before the break, and even again leading into the break, it's not an easy, breezy, smooth finish upcoming for this Avs team.
No, if the Avs were in the Pacific Division, they'd be 20 points up on first place in that division. But they happen to play in the Central, and they're three. Had the Dallas Stars beat the Utah Mammoth on Monday and the Avs got destroyed, this game would have been for first place in the Central Division. Let's not forget, we're just a couple months removed talking about the greatest start to an NHL season
Which
ever.
We all kind of assumed it was going to slow down at some point.
Not to this level.
Not to this level.
Not to this level.
Do you? Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Did they peak too soon? I know it sounds cliche, but we all... I know it sounds cliche, but we see this a lot where teams are really good, and then suddenly, I mean, Golden State broke a record for most wins in a season and didn't win a title.
I don't think they did. I think what we're seeing right now is a little bit of those new additions that are trying to find their role. Let's not forget either that Arturi Lehkonen is out, Gabriel Landeskog is out as well right now. But the pressure cooker, like you can throw the whole Avs in there, that works. But specifically, the defensemen have to be better. Now, Scott Wedgwood and Mackenzie Blackwood have not been good, but a lot of that is the result of just
like
porous defense.
Most of those goals the other night were just
breakaway goals, just 2-on-1. It was terrible, and they've been going with only 7 defensemen. And Nathan MacKinnon talked about that after the loss to Pittsburgh, and he said that's not Brock Nelson, Nathan MacKinnon. Those are kind of the two leaders when Landy's not around, Landy's not out there, and they both said like, you guys, you can't hang this on the goaltenders. We have had terrible defense, and MacKinnon even went as far to say is normally you've got eight defensemen, and they each have their playing partner that they're out there with. The Avs are running with 7, so there's a different defensive pairing every time out there. There's no camaraderie. That's what makes Cale Makar and Devon Taves so good when they're out there, is that they know what each other's going to do. And so, specifically tonight, it's going to be on the defensemen to figure it out for the pressure cooker.
All right, so you agree with, I guess
yes.
You're a little more specific.
But yes, the Avalanche have to win this game.
Michael?
Tanner, before the segment started, I said, don't steal my thunder, and you stole my thunder. I was going to put the Avs defense.
He actually did say that.
7-2.
He didn't tell me what it was going to be, though.
You kind of should know.
Should have known.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Should have known. I was going to put them in the pressure cooker. 7-2 is inexcusable. I'm sorry. You cannot do that to your goalies.
Yeah, it's bad. It's one of those losses that really rocks you.
too.
Yeah, 100%.
This is why
because the Penguins are not a good team first and foremost, but they are atrocious defensively. And the fact that you weren't able when it was 2-1 early, when Nathan MacKinnon scored that goal to make it 2-1, I was like, okay, we're just going to be in a shootout. It's going to be fine. I mean, the Avs will have the firepower. But then it gets 3-1. Then it gets 4-1. Then at 4-2, right before the end of the first period, I was like, okay, they're still in this. They've got the power play. Nathan MacKinnon needs to come off of that top power play. He just loves to do his fancy little dangles and skate around. Fire the pigskin. Shoot the puck. Who knows when it's going to go in?
Yeah, and me not being the hockey guy, I have noticed so much on that. When they're on a power play, MacKinnon just doesn't, like, fire it.
Yeah.
Fire it more. I mean, just get shots.
Stop working for the wide open net. Just fire it and let.
You get to the point where you're just so picky and choosy of your shot selection. You don't get one.
No, because you've got Kadri and you've got Nelson right in front of the net. Those are big old boys blocking the eyesight of the goaltender. And yes, as Micah just so elegantly motioned, they can tip those things in. So let it loose. Let it fire.
Yeah, I agree. Again, with my limited hockey knowledge, when I'm watching this team on a power play, it's like they're so selective. Mm-hmm. They're trying to get the perfect shot, and in any hockey game, very rarely do you get even the great goals that are just awesome are not necessarily the perfect shot.
No, yeah, a lot of it is truly just luck of clipping something and it going in. So yeah, got to be better on the power play. Got to be better defensively tonight. Tall task against a hungry Dallas Stars. No, I believe Mikko Rantanen's out for a couple weeks, so no Mikko Rantanen tonight for the Stars, which certainly does help the Colorado Avalanche.
All right, so we'll see. The Stars have no injuries listed, but maybe he's back. I don't know 100%. Maybe it's just not a new injury list.
It very well could
have been
for a while. I was reading that he was supposed to be out for 2 weeks, but I could also sharing fake news.
Maybe
here.
So. Faith says, are you and Tanner in the pressure cooker for your race tomorrow?
I'm not.
Tanner is.
Why?
I think you're in the pressure cooker.
Why? All the expectations are on you.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, well, 100% they
Tanner,
are.
Tanner's the youthful
not
one.
A single...
You're the youthful one here. GoPoke says, pressure cooker, I think it's your feet, the race, and your bracket, me.
Mikko Rantanen is still more than 10 days to 2 weeks away from any possible
maybe
return.
It's not new injuries that are listed.
Correct. You're in the pressure cooker. No one has picked me to win. You're in the pressure cooker. If I lose, everyone's going to be like, yeah, that's how it should have gone. You're short, you're fatter than Brady is, and that's
you're making it seem like you're...
That is... Have you heard anyone say, yeah, I'm going with Tanner on this race, Micah?
Well, I haven't heard
Your wife is going with you? No, you're going with you?
I said, have you heard?
Yeah, you haven't heard anyone.
I'm assuming.
You don't know that?
I would imagine she's got your back.
Maybe.
Maybe so.
But no, nobody's picked me. So you're in the pressure.
A little pressure, yeah.
You are.
Yeah, maybe.
No pressure at all.
This is supposed to be kind of my area. You do golf and the cow milking and
stop saying I milk cows.
You're going to beat me.
I'm going to snap one day and it's going to...
That's what we've been hoping for. You have that. If we want to have a barn raising contest.
Barn raising, yeah.
You're going to get me there. Yeah. A wagon race with our horse and buggy. You probably got
me
there.
No horses or wagons.
Probably really good at team roping too.
Probably.
No. No. All the pressure's on you. Like, we'll see.
This is my area.
Sure.
You know, like athletics, cool things.
Sure.
People that, like to watch really neat things happen.
Uh-huh.
This is my area.
Uh-huh. How bad is it going to suck if I beat you tomorrow?
I have the built-in excuse. You're 11 years younger
than me.
But
everyone is picking you, knowing that.
It doesn't matter, because not many 40-year-olds are willing to just go out and do a 40-yard dash, unless they're like the guys that are at the gym 2 to 3 hours a day. And that's just not me.
No.
What's... Will Tanner be wearing boots? What's the bet on that?
No, there's a 0% chance I'm wearing boots.
He's going to wear... Listen.
I'll be in tennis
shoes. But you also, you played league softball not that long ago.
Mm-hmm.
You golf almost every day.
Almost. That's what I was just
saying. It's a lot of walking around.
Yeah.
So you're building up strength. Yeah, but you walk from the cart to find your ball and to get out onto the green. So that's that strength.
Yeah,
you chase after cows all the time.
I do that. Yes,
there's a lot of stuff.
But nobody has picked me. So if you're looking at this objectively, and said okay, it's tomorrow 16 versus 1, all the pressure's on the 1. I'm just coming in as a little lowly 16 seed.
If we brought a cow out there. put the cow at the finish line and said, Tanner, go get Bessie, I think Tanner would probably win.
Your show, I have had to tune out, like HVAC guy yesterday just being a complete D-bag.
Well, it's just a lot of trash talk, but yeah. It's, you know, this is the time of year for this.
Yeah, sure.
I think people enjoy when you and I battle each other.
Yeah.
And you and I used to just enjoy it, but also hate it at the same time. And now we've let this world in on our hatred of each other.
I don't hate you.
Oh, yeah, me neither. of our competition, of our competitiveness.
Yeah, but you're in the pressure cooker. Other. That was the question, and yes, it's you, not me. It's not like
I feel it a little bit.
No one's No one's throwing Hofstra in the pressure cooker for the tournament.
But it's like Joker says, and McKinnon, and Name any Rocky.
I'd be careful comparing yourself there because you haven't.
The pressure is a privilege,
yeah.
And I like them. Can certainly feel this. Mm-hmm. You know, they're thinking about the playoffs, and I'm thinking about this.
You
race.
Are too. 40-year-old, 39.
Actually.
Sorry, it was a Freudian slip. A 40-yard dash, as Nathan MacKinnon is to hockey.
That would be cool if mm-hmm. I was like that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Watch somebody show up tomorrow that's like 26, fit as hell, and he's like, "I'll race you guys," like, and then we just look even worse.
Yeah, like my brother.
Is he pretty fast?
Yeah.
We'll see.
We'll see.
I didn't think your brother did like sports in high school.
Yeah.
He did play?
He track.
Oh, he did track.
He didn't do sports. You're right.
No, did what track. Did he run in track? Track. Now I want to know.
I don't remember. I didn't go to it. It wasn't a sporting event.
Obviously was.
It's not a sporting
memorable
event.
Enough. You can't say. You can tell me what he ran. That's what's going to happen. I think tomorrow if somebody. Because you know somebody's going to challenge and say, I want to run in the race too.
Yeah, well, they jump in. I guess like Travis.
It's going to turn into like. Some kind of drive every year, and it's a 40-yard sprint.
Yeah, Travis is like, I'll race you guys. He's texting.
See, are you fast, Travis, the new guy? What'd you do in high school? That's what I'm asking everybody.
Yeah.
Because you can't just tell me, like, you want to race. I'm like, I got to know that there's a baseline
mm-hmm.
of some kind of, did you run track in high school? Did you play football? Or were you like the center for the team or punter.
Right.
Not to say you can't be fast, but I need a baseline
sure.
if I'm going to race you. If I'm going to put my reputation, I'm like a choosy prize fighter. You know, I'm not going to just go fight. I'm not going to race Micah.
Yeah.
Like, what's that doing for me, man? And on the off chance I break my ankle on the race and lose, then my cred is completely torched. So I'm very choosy as far as who I pick to race against.
Yeah, if you raced against me, you would win even if you broke your ankle.
See,
my knee would just shred.
Yeah, but I could just
first
stop.
First step.
Go Pokes says, but Tanner was an all-district quarterback. Well, see, that's what...
All state.
Oh, okay.
All district.
Can't remember what his brother did in high school.
Yeah.
But my gosh, if you mess with that. Yeah.
So. I was lucky enough. You know this. I was lucky enough.
Dude, I'm texting your brother right now. I'm like, dude, he didn't even support
me. I know
school.
He jumped. I know he did some of the jumping, but he ran a couple races
was
too.
Was it high jump? Was it long
he
jump?
He did high jump. I know
high
he did
jump
high jump.
Can be, you know, long jump, there's a lot of speed. High jump is about that timing and jumping ability, not always speed.
No, I know. Yeah, I know he ran a couple, too. I don't know.
But that's why I ask. Like, you were fast in football. You were one of my top five favorite quarterbacks in the 4 years I did high school radio, preps radio broadcast. But you were fast. You were quick.
It wasn't bad.
We played flag football.
Shifty.
We played flag football.
We were
extremely good, but I also think that was we were in the wrong division.
Well, in the wrong division, we had a bunch of what were they 40-year-olds that were on our team? They're a little bit slower than
40s
everybody
and 50s
else.
50s at that point, yeah. And we did not have any plays.
No,
everyone literally just ran their own route.
Correct.
So
I saw what was going
us,
on, and I was like, "I'm going to be all-time quarterback and I'm throw that thing up."
Everyone's going deep, man. I'm going to be your five and in guy, five and outs.
Yep.
Maybe a 10 and out once in a while.
I kept getting locked in on you. Who's blue? Who's blue?
Faith says, should I start stretching tonight and race you, Tanner?
Come on, Faith. You're losing it, too.
We're going to get like 20 people suddenly lining up. And
it's a bracket. It's an actual racing bracket.
Oh, that's so good.
Did we decide 11:30 tomorrow?
I guess. I don't know. Travis, no, but my 38-year-old fat butt ran past one of those speed signs and got to 14 miles an hour. So that could be tight. That could be
you
tight.
Got what
15, but it barely got there. Like it kind of
flashed.
But I was in heavy shoes.
Uh-huh.
I was wearing weighted pants.
Uphill, you had a coat on.
Had a coat on.
Mm-hmm.
It was a blizzard.
Mm. Didn't warm up.
And what? Yeah, I didn't warm up.
Warm up.
Right.
Didn't warm up.
Right.
Was extremely tired.
Yeah, if we're going at 11:30,
it was uphill.
There's a good chance that I've had a beverage at that point.
Well, that's
I'm not. I won't use it as an excuse. Like I said, dude, you're gonna win it.
See, Nat, no.
What? What?
You know what he's doing, Mike. You know what he's doing.
What am I doing?
He's trying to make you overconfident.
No, why would I do that?
Oh,
he's trying to make you overconfident, and then
you have told me for years you can beat me in a foot race, and now suddenly you're changing your tune.
You'll probably win.
Do you just want to say I won it?
No, I do not.
There we go.
I do not want to do that. You'll probably win tomorrow.
I'll take the win if you want to bow out and just announce me as the winner.
There isn't a world in which I'm bowing out of this. But you'll probably win.
Smitty says, "Can I get the winner tomorrow? I only need a 37-yard head start." See, those are the races we need. Okay, I got a lot of texts. We got Keeler coming up, though. We got Keeling Me Softly here in just a moment.
Sean's more important than this?
Well, he's pretty high on this. He was terrified after the Broncos didn't do anything, and now he's pretty high on this one.
Him and I were on the same page.
I wasn't as far out as you were, but I definitely was not talking contender. 21 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break here. Thank you, Tanner. Always appreciate it, my friend.
Of course. Thank you, my friend.
Bring your dancing shoes tomorrow because we're going to tango.
I'll slow dance with you afterwards.
You and me.
You'll probably win.
It's
going to
be a slow dance.
You'll probably win. You probably don't even need to stretch.
I won't stretch.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to not stretch. I'm going to stretch my ego after a win tomorrow. It's going to be glorious.
You got it.
It's going to be glorious. Go Pokes wants to race Smitty.
That's one we need.
I'm in on that. All right, we'll be right back.
Two dudes, one mission. To provide the best morning radio in Colorado. Good morning, NoCo. Weekdays 6 to 10. On Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Brock Wisney, former UNC men's basketball player, and you're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
It's time for Keeling Me Softly with the one and only Sean Keeler from the Denver Post. And Sean, you wrote about it. Broncos trade for Jaylen Waddle just made AFC's best team even better. I'm all in, man. I'm already. I'm staying at your place for the parade. I've already made my plans, man. I'm 100% there.
There is no one. We'll get to that. We'll get back to Waddle. One, there's no room for you at my place.
I can sleep on the floor, Sean. I'm a very easy keeper. You won't even know I'm there.
You know, me, wife, and the kid, you don't know how small this place is. No room for you at the end. Two, however, if you win your race in cowboy boots that I just heard about off air, if you win that race, I heard about you running with, like, chaps and spurs or something.
No, that's the other guy. That's the challenger.
I think Michael was telling you about this and totally did not fill you in on exactly how this is going.
Yeah, it's fine. I was amused. As long as I'm amused, I don't care. I don't care what the truth is.
You think, Sean? You think you cover sports for a living? You follow these finely tuned athletes and you study them. You know, you've met me a few times. You think I could beat a random dude in a 40-yard race? What do you think, man? I'm kind of doubting.
It depends on the random dude. You're a strapping, handsome young dude. Unless I'm built like a potato with a Funko Pop head. So that's a different kind of mindset. But you know, you do you, Jaylen Waddle.
Okay, Jaylen Waddle. I could probably not beat him in a race, I'm guessing.
No, back to people who could beat us all in a race.
Yeah,
in a good way. I know it's you mentioned about being all in. I think, as much symbolically as anything else, this is a trade for a team that should be all in, is showing that it's all in, and good for them. I'm trying to decide if I'm more jazzed about this or the Avs getting Naz a couple weeks ago. We could get into the Avs a little bit too, but yeah, it's a team that should be all in, going all in, and this is the time that you do it. So let's not pretend like it's now. Let's be real about this. As you and I have talked about on air and off, three of our four pro teams here are in their window. And the Broncos are very much in that window, and this was a window move for a window team, and go get it.
Yeah, and it doesn't this just – now, during this whole quiet free agency period, there was this part of me that's like, Sean and George, they're too quiet, man. It's like it's just they're too quiet. It's like Ninja Turtles back in the 90s, a little too raff.
Yeah, there's a werewolf waiting. Quiet.
A little too quiet. That's what I felt. You know, and all the A.J. Brown stuff was popping up. And they're not a conventional duo. They kind of go against the grain. But most of the time that when they do go against the grain, it kind of works out since they've joined forces at least.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, I don't think they knew each other super well prior to this. So they obviously had a lot of respect for each other. Just talking about Peyton and Peyton. I call them the law firm. The law firm of Peyton and Peyton. One has a Y and one doesn't. Is that they have also both seemed to complement each other well, at least from the outside, and from what we hear on the inside as well to some degree. In that, you know, I think just specifically speaking about the two of them, and we may have gone over this too when Sean was hired. George's was after a real good college evaluator, and his big swing was Russell Wilson. That didn't work. That was a bold risk, and you might argue that this is the second biggest move that they have made since then, and probably the most. I would think, right? 3 years later, I think it's been the most comparable big swings since then. I think of just specifically of George Payton's big swings from a trade perspective. They were shipping off Von Miller for draft picks, which was the right thing to do at the time because you were not in a window. You were far from that window. I mean, not as far as they realized they were, but and Von got a ring and everybody kind of got ahead on that. And then the Russell thing where you thought that was going to initiate your window, and it did, but it did because you got another coach who was a Hall of Fame-ish coach and not because of Russ. So, yeah, it works. And in a way, Sean, I would think, kind of cross-checks George on the stuff that he may not know as well or in terms of the big picture about, you know, like good baseball front offices, not mine with the White Sox, and we'll see how they are with the Rockies. They have good pro scouts, and they've got amateur scouts, and they have guys who know who's in the league and guys who know who's coming. I think George has always been really good, Peyton, at knowing what's coming, and Sean kind of knows what's there. So, yeah, everybody's in a good place. And the thing is, we talked about this last week. Nobody asked much. This team didn't need much. Like the way they're like, oh, they don't spend a free agency, and everyone who clapped back and said, well, they're 14-3. They didn't really need to get much, and that's true. You can run it back and probably, again, you're a 10-11-win team on paper. But it's not about that. The Waddle move is acknowledging we could get somebody who makes us better at a time and in a position where we need to be. And as a skill guy, and to get a playmaker and to shout out loud about we need playmakers and then not get one. Well, now you did. And I would contend they probably also still need one more tailback. But now you've got – still got picks and some room to go get one.
Well, and doesn't a guy like Jaylen Waddle take the pressure off everything, though? That speed changes how a defense approaches everything. I mean, this is going to obviously help Courtland Sutton, I believe. And honestly, the run game, Evan Engram, too. I think having a star, which they just did. I mean, J.K. Dobbins was putting up star-like numbers, but you know, he's got to finish the season.
Yeah, half season all-star.
Outside of that, it's you know, there wasn't a star on this offense. I mean, it was Bo running around making plays happen. Now you've got this Jaylen Waddle, who is still extremely fast. Yeah. I think that right there has to have. He's in the peripheral of a lot of linebacker safeties. They've got to watch him. So I think this helps everybody.
Yeah, and you can do a lot of things with him. I mean, I immediately when this went down, kind of a holy crud, they did it kind of thing. And then I went, so who gets – and then I had some friends who are fans texting me and other people going, so who gets pushed out? Which is a good problem to have, right? There's a running joke with baseball. You can't have too many shortstops because those are the best positions, the best players on the field, and then they sometimes become center fielders or first baseman or third baseman. But the joke is you can't have too many shortstops because they're elite athletes. You can't have too many elite athletes. Jaylen Waddle is an elite athlete, elite playmaker. And he is going to cut into Troy Franklin and Marvin Mims' touches. Let's just start with that. Like, and Cortland Sutton. Like, if I think the only loser out of this trade were people who wanted Cortland Sutton and Marvin fantasy league, if that makes sense. But that isn't what the game is about. This is about adding a potential all-pro kind of player in there to give you legit wide receiver two, if not wide receiver one, and divvy that up. You've added, to your point, one more weapon that you didn't have who, if healthy, and he has been, knock on wood, so far, is just at least in pencil going to give you a baseline, what, 900 receiving yards, 1,000 total yards, 5 or 6 touchdowns, just on an aggregate level. You don't, it's kind of like picking up, you know, back to the baseball analogies, it's kind of like picking up a 25-30 homer guy. You know what that's on the baseball card. Jalen Waddle has a baseline floor on that football trading card that's pretty dang good and makes you all the more dangerous in a position and a time in your franchise where you need to be going for it. I think it's as much the intent of the move as who they got. If they got an A.J. Brown, great, awesome. Wide receiver 1-2, great, let's go. Waddle, same idea. I think it's the principle of the thing, if that makes sense. Does that make sense? Like, oh,
yeah.
we need to go for this now. The 30th pick and the 90th, whatever it was, 92nd, is not going to – that's great for 2027. And everybody kind of did their analysis last week of, well, they're saving up for that 2027 draft, and that's pretty great. Well, guess what? You can still go for that with adding Jaden Waddle and Jalen Waddle and moving some of those picks for 2026 off, which isn't as good a class of things you have in 2027, because you can't worry about winning a Super Bowl in 2027 until you worry about winning one in 2026. And you have a roster, if healthy, again, knock on wood, that should have been in that game, and if fully healthy, would have been in that game and could be again. But you also have a lot of variables that you can't account for that you need to make yourself. One, you need to insulate yourself from injury with depth, and adding a great player, or at least a very good one, to your skill position group does not hurt that. And you need to account for the fact that you may have to that Giants game last year, you got to try to win, right? You can't depend on defense
right.
to be as elite. I mean, that Texans game, I go back to all these moments from the 2025 Broncos where they made their own luck, but they also had some luck. Like, they lose that Texans game, especially if Stroud plays, 95 times out of 100. But they made some great red zone stops. They got kicks where they needed it, and they got to knock out a QB and play against a backup. Great. You can't depend on those close game things to be the same year after year after year. Those are volatile things. Again, 12-2 in the regular season, those one-score games. You might lose half of those and have a better team on paper. And I think Sean knows that. And I think trying to upgrade at positions where you know you have the needs, specifically offensively, is acknowledging that. And they talked about acknowledging it, but they didn't do it. And I think this move acknowledges that. It better insulates you for the things you can't control. And some of that's luck.
Yeah, I'm 100% in. I'm all in on this. Sean yep. Keeler, Denver Post, big one tonight between the Avs and the Stars. And you noted in your article yesterday, you know, Nathan MacKinnon's very fascinating quotes, kind of calling out Jared Bednar and pregame and need to get more communication going before the game or in meetings and such. I guess it's a good thing. I don't know. It's a strange time right now for this once, you know, historic Avalanche team.
And people were reaching out to me after that came out, and Corey Massasak, our Avs beat writer, and I were talking about it. I'm trying to sort of like one of those where we look at each other after the game and go, did we hear what we thought we just heard? A little bit back and forth, as sometimes happens in press box post-game talk. And we kind of looked at it again and went, yeah, I think he's pointing fingers at his D. He's pointing fingers at Jared. He's pointing fingers at his coaching staff. He's pointing fingers at everything. And when you get, you know, your brains kicked in by Pittsburgh in that game, play your worst game of the season where nobody's good except maybe Brent Burns, you need to call some people out. And Nate being Nate, he doesn't do it loudly. He just does it kind of quietly. So tonight, yeah, I mean, as the column noted at the end there, tonight's going to say a lot. I mean, you can, because again, this is a good team. This is certainly one of the best two or three teams in the league. And certainly they're with best record. You want them to, this is a cup contender, depending on where the things fall. But those playoff matchups and avoiding that kind of 2-3, you know, that hell game that you were in last year in the Central, when the Central is that stacked, that matters. And keeping that one seed this year, as much as I really don't care about the President's Trophy, it really, really matters. So as I, you can excuse a bad week or a bad couple games. You can excuse a 5-goal loss, even a month of the season. But you have one of your biggest games at home coming off your worst. So again, as the column noted, tonight and into tomorrow morning, and how we feel in about, you know, 8 hours, 9 hours, will tell us whether Monday was just a blip, something to be concerned about. You know, was it a wake-up call, or is it a five-alarm fire? I think we'll know after this evening.
Yeah, an important one for sure. Sean, great work as always, my friend. And the race is tomorrow. We'll know at this point. I'll text you the results. I know you'll be wanting to write about it and feature it. Maybe get on the cover of the Denver Post, Friday morning.
Yeah, that'd be good. We got nothing else.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, not like we have all these, you know, championship window teams and March Madness or anything. But yeah, maybe just fill your page up with a couple of random white dudes running 40-yard dash. That might be good.
Random white dudes. As someone older and fatter than you, I would just say, as Sage Big Brother advice, do some stretching. Do a lot of stretching.
Okay, yeah.
A lot.
I keep hearing that. I'm going to have to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, you might want to do that.
What is stretching? Okay. Sean, appreciate you, man. We'll catch up with you next week.
All right. Sounds good. Good luck. See you.
Sean Keeler, Denver Post. Keeling me softly. 41 minutes after the hour, Mike. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Cody Tucker with 7220sports.com, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
All right. The Nathan MacKinnon thing was interesting, and Keeler noted that in his story yesterday in the Denver Post. Tanner was talking about this too against the Penguins, and MacKinnon was quoted in the article saying, "I don't like seven defensemen. Different D pairs every shift isn't great. The flow is off for sure. Also on communication, quote, we need everyone on the same page. We need more communication before the game and in meetings. Really know what we're going to do over and over again." It felt like we've been pretty good, and then Winnipeg happened, and then Monday was just off again. Can't really explain it. It's been like that all season. So that was kind of, I mean, he's not necessarily wrong, but it is from one of your studs, the stud, Nathan MacKinnon, somewhat calling out Jared Bednar and the coaching staff. So it's either going to light a fire, the appropriate fire, probably will. I mean, this is too good of a team to struggle for long, I think, but this is a big one tonight against the Dallas Stars. All right, 48 minutes after the hour, Michael. Come out and join us tomorrow, Big City Roadhouse. I had their Big City Burger the other day, and that is, I love their pizza. So for me to go away from their pizza, I got to try something new. I'm forcing myself to do it. Big City Roadhouse, every meal they have is phenomenal. Come out and see for yourself tomorrow during our watch party. We'll be out there around 9:30. The games tip off at 10 o'clock. And on your way, keep it here on KFKA, because we're going to have all the coverage you can handle all day today, tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's your home, Northern Colorado home for Westwood One's March Madness. What did we learn? Coming up next.
Jokic, Makar, Murray. Hear the postseason legends in their quest for another title. A Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
All right, this is the last segment of the week. We're off tomorrow. We're off Friday. Tomorrow. This time tomorrow, we're going to know who the greatest is that ever existed. That's what this race means. It, high stakes, Mike. A lot of pressure. It takes a great man to deal with that, and that is me. That will be me. Tanner's worried. He's trying to play mind games now. He's trying to play mind games. 2 weeks ago, it was, I beat you. Now he's playing mind games. But the great ones adjust, Mike. He's throwing something else at me in this. I'm confused by his tactics because he doesn't compliment me very often. So I got to be ready for it. I hope you're ready. Come out to Big City Roadhouse. It's going to be, I don't know, 10:30, 11-ish or so around that time. Just come out, hang out with us. You got to be a part of history. Yes, it is going to be a historic foot race. And if you miss it, you're gonna regret this day for a very long time. Very long time. It's going to be a big one. At Big City Roadhouse, where better to do this and showcase two amazing athletes in their prime? I mean, this is like Pacquiao and Mayweather stuff, man. If Michael Phelps and Usain Bolt raced somehow, but one's a swimmer, one's a trackster, but you get what I'm talking about. A cheetah and another cheetah, perhaps, might be the better way to describe this race at Big City Roadhouse. Tomorrow, morning-ish, at Big City Roadhouse. Come watch basketball with us, more importantly. It's going to be a lot of fun. That'll do it. Good night, Northern Colorado.